Well, first it was the shooting of Castile. Remember that one in Minneapolis, where the officer walked up to his car door and just opened fire on him, Philando Castile. Well, now another just absolutely shocking shooting out of Minneapolis, where a woman, she was a yoga instructor, a life coach. She called the police. 911 thought she heard someone being assaulted. Next thing you know, she gets shot through the police car door and killed. Bobby Kimbrough Jr. with us, law enforcement expert, author of Surviving the Stop. Spent decades in law enforcement, finished his career at the Justice Department. Bobby, great to have you as always on WILS.
Mike, the pleasure's mine. Thank you again.
Yeah, this is an incredible story. What do you make of the details that she calls them, she hears someone, she thinks someone's being assaulted, she's in her pajamas, then she gets shot through the police car door? What do you make of the details you've heard?
Well, you know, the details that I've heard, you know, make me wonder a lot of things. First of all, she heard a disturbance behind her house in the alleyway. She goes out and meets the patrol car. While she's talking to the police officers from the driver's side, she's shot by the officer sitting on the passenger side.
Have you ever heard of such a thing in your life?
No, you know, a lot of things about that make me wonder, first of all, why the dash cam wasn't on. They were responding to a call of that nature. The next thing that I wonder is that it's very difficult to shoot someone from the passenger seat, shooting across your partner, hitting her. A lot of that makes me wonder what really took place in that car. Because it'd be very difficult to pull your weapon from your holster while sitting in the patrol car and shoot it across your partner into the driver's side of the window. There's a lot of things about this that makes me wonder, you know, what's really going on here.
Mm-hmm. Isn't what? You think it's just a lie all around that this is not what actually happened?
Well, you know what? One of the things that I always refrain on this calling someone untruthful until all the facts are in, because I don't think they've released any reports yet. I just think that here we have a young officer who's been on the job 2 years, responding to a call with his partner, sitting on the passenger side. And how do we go from responding to a call to shooting the person that called in? I don't really get that.
The shooter was a Somali officer,
exactly.
Right, Mohammed Noor. And she, I should note, she was this Caucasian Australian woman. I mean, we always hear the racial aspect. Do you think there could have been any racial aspect to this shooting?
No, I think this goes back down to, while I always say I love my brothers and sisters across the country to serve and protect, because that's the profession I came out of. But I want to say this, though, Mike, is that we need more training, because this one comes back down to the level of training. This comes back down to when people are confronted with situations, intense situations, they respond back to their level of training.
Yeah. And this is there any training where you're somehow trained to pull your gun while you're sitting in the patrol car?
No. On the stream, you have to be under extreme circumstances, taking fire from outside to do something like that. I mean, I think this right here is just a level of training that was not met, a level of procedures, protocol, all of that was out of the way. First of all, the dash cam wasn't working, the body cam wasn't working.
Yeah, after the Castile shooting, they've instituted this policy across the board to have the cam on the body on. Now, how does that work? Did they just turn it off? Is that what happened?
Yeah, you can turn that on manually, on or off. But here's the thing about that, though. This day and time after what just happened there, that would be the first thing I do for documentation purposes, is to cut the cam on so that there's documentation purposes. The only reason, you know, I forgot wouldn't be a suitable answer for me. That'd be like the surgeon saying I forgot to cut the oxygen on while they're performing surgery.
Right.
I don't really get that.
They're going to a scene where there's been an assault reported, right? So they're looking.
Exactly.
Okay, right.
Mm-hmm. Right. So there's no, I like to hear the answer to that. I forgot wouldn't be sufficient to me. And I think that we've got to up the level of training. We've got to up the level of qualification that we bring into the ranks. And we give someone a gun and a badge and say, protect our city, and give them the power of life and death. We've got to up the training, because This is happening 2 months. You know, even in 2017, we're about to break the record. We on pace to break the record since the recording of records. We've had 660 killings by law enforcement across America. Now, and this is only July.
And I know Bobby Kimbrough Jr. with us here on WILS. I know we've talked in the past. He said you were in situations where you could have shot and you would have been justified and you chose not to pull the trigger, right?
Exactly.
And I'm curious, as off-duty, have you ever been in a situation where a police officer has had his gun unholstered in dealing with you?
Oh, yeah, quite. I mean, I understand the concept of officer safety. I do that because we're living in perilous times. Many calls or many times I've been stopped by police officers myself, and they have their hand on their holster, but they don't break the holster. In other words, they haven't pulled it out of the holster. That's precaution to have my gun. If I stop somebody at that time of night, to have my gun.
You have your hand on your gun. Now,
exactly.
As the motorist, because your book is called Surviving the Stop, I'm curious, if a police officer has pulled the gun out of the holster, what would you do as a motorist or just a person standing there at that point?
I would let them see my hand and say, please don't shoot. I'm unarmed. I mean, the first thing you want to do is make the police officer feel like you're not a threat. You do not want to be a threat to him. Mm. This situation right here, she was not a threat. I don't understand how this happened.
Yeah.
I mean, she was not a threat in no kind of way, shape, form, or fashion.
So, but I assume that the evidence shows the bullet went through the car door, that wouldn't be reported, right? So assuming that happened, all we have to go on is what these officers say, right? She's dead. There's no video evidence. So how's that going to work out exactly?
Well, you know what? If I was investigating the case, they'd have to take a polygraph. I mean, I would have to do it for the sake of all of us or all of my brothers that are still working to carry the safety, the shield, and the safety of the people, because the integrity of the police department and law enforcement across America is under attack.
And you're saying the officers' union would allow that for them to be put under a polygraph?
What I'm telling you is that in the federal government system, if there's a question of issue, you have no choice whether or not you're going to take the polygraph. Mm-hmm. If they say you're going to take the polygraph, you either take the polygraph or you're fired. Mm-hmm. Bottom line.
I assume, Bobby, it's going to come out that they're going to say she was acting erratically, right? That's typically how it goes down.
Well,
when she was, you know.
Yeah, well, I'm sure they're going to have a reason. Now, whether the reason is sufficient or not is the question. Where we want to hang our hat. But I can't see pulling my weapon from the passenger side, shooting across someone else. Now, you got to realize, if you're shooting from the passenger side of a vehicle and the driver is in the front seat with you, you're shooting across an individual who's an officer who carries the same shield, the same uniform. Mm-hmm. You don't know if that officer is all of a sudden going to lean forward for whatever reason, and you hit him.
No, it sounds careless, but apparently the report is his partner was, quote, stunned by what occurred, so he certainly didn't see it coming. How much loyalty do you imagine his partner somehow trying to cover for him in some way, or is this the kind of thing where he would just tell the truth if something was wrong?
Here's what I say, Mike, and I've always said this. That was told to me when I first started working in law enforcement in 1982. When you put on this uniform, you're not blue, you're not black, you're not white, you're right. What you want to be is right. You want to be on the spirit of righteousness. If my partner made a mistake like that, I wouldn't lie for him. I would say, this is what happened. I understand that thin blue line. I understand that fraternity. I understand that. But we've got to now start protecting the integrity of all of us across America, not just in Minneapolis. We got to do it all across America.
No question. I'm trying to picture what's happened here. So you're sitting in your car, right? You go up to a scene. Are you comfortable as a police officer with someone leaning in and talking to you through your window while you're seated in the car, or do you try not to have that happen?
No, I try not to have that happen. If I pull up on the scene and someone is standing or waiting on me, first of all, I want to see their hands. Once I see their hands, I'm getting out of the car. Okay, I'm getting out of the car because I want to be on my feet. I don't want to be confined to a car if something happens.
Okay,
so if I pull up on the scene and there's a female, a man, a woman who has called the police, whether they didn't or didn't, and I see them, first of all, I see their hands, and there's nothing in their hands. I check my surroundings. I'm getting out of my car.
Now, it was late at night, so presumably it was dark. And I mean,
because the reports say that we're talking about the suburbs, Mike. We ain't talking about the east side. We're talking about the suburbs. They say that the alley had motion detectors and several lights. It was well lit.
Okay.
We're not talking about, you know what I mean?
And from the passenger side, you wouldn't be able to see that much, right? I mean, you wouldn't be able to see her hands, let's say, right, if she's holding them down. So you would have to just assume or think there's some weapon or something's happening beyond your view. Is that what the officer might have done?
You know what? I have no idea what the officer was thinking. Yeah. I really want to know how he articulate what he did. That's what I want to hear. I want to know how he articulate his actions.
Yeah.
I mean, the best thing if a mistake was made was to come out and say, you know what, I made a mistake. Because the people would respect that. I'm tired of everywhere I go, the respect that people have for law enforcement. Yeah. It is at its worst low. Nobody trusts the people and the men and women who serve. And we deserve better than that because there are great officers across America who don their vests, their weapons, and their badges every day to serve and protect.
Right.
And those few that make these mistakes, we need to say, you know what? We can't cover them. This job ain't for you.
Well, and the thing is, I understand, especially with this line of work, that you would be a bit on edge. I mean, most things you're involved in are dangerous by nature, right? You're being called to situations where someone may be armed. A lot of things can go down. Go ahead.
To Mike, to whom much is given, much is required. If we give that kind of respect to an officer, to individuals, we got to require a certain level of training. We got to require a certain level of integrity. And more important, we got to require a recurrence of training.
Yeah.
Just not to train you today, not mentally have instruments in place to check where we are 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the road.
Yeah.
No, we've got to up the standards.
So what? I mean, is it a matter of money, or why would departments not be more aggressive in making sure year by year an officer is mentally sound?
You know what the problem is? It always comes down. Anybody tell you anything different is lying. It comes down to dollars and cents and money.
Yeah.
But the truth of the matter, if you do how much money that some police officers have lost in lawsuits and wrong for death, they would have came out better during the training. They would have came out better during the simulations training. They would have came out better during the same thing that we're doing across America now.
Yeah.
Managing emotions under pressure, de-escalation, all of these things. It has to be ongoing because the job and this day and time that we're living in requires officers, their training, to meet the level that they're functioning.
Really? Is it training or is it a matter of an officer being mentally either unstable or just, you know, just affected from the job itself over time?
It's a combination of everything. You know, one of the things that we've been doing, Mike, is surviving the shield. A shield that only weighs ounces over a certain period of time, it feels like a boulder around your neck. Because an officer is going into situations every day that affect him the next day and the next day.
Right.
So we got to start upping the training. We've got to start every 5 years, DOJ does a revaluation of his agent, of his 1811. That's the code for an agent, 1811. They go back every 5 years and recertify you. In other words, you go back to a background check, credit check, everything. They basically reinvestigate you to make sure that you fit to carry that gold shield and serve and protect. I think across America, that should be standard practice.
Well, that sounds expensive, though, certainly for some of these.
But guess what?
Departments,
how much is a life, though, Mike? Yeah. How much is a life, though?
Yeah, no, it makes sense. It's Bobby Kimbrough Jr., law enforcement expert, a man who spent decades as a law enforcement official himself and finished it at the Justice Department. His book is Surviving the Stop. Bobby Kimbrough Jr. Bobby, let's have you on again soon. Thank you very much.
Appreciate you, Mike. Love you. Take care.
Thank you.